D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The Stanley Cup playoffs started, over the weekend. Some good games. Of course, the Nashville Predators were not participating. They missed the postseason for the second time in 3 years. And on Friday, Predators players and coach Andrew Brunette held their final news conferences of the season. And there were some interesting comments that came out of those news conferences, which we will play for you now. So the first one I want to play is Andrew Brunette answering the question a lot of Predators fans have. What's his status moving forward? Will Andrew Brunette be the coach of the Nashville Predators next season? Here is how Andrew Brunette answered that question.
Yeah, I'm here to coach. You know, love my job, love my team until I'm told otherwise. I'm going to continue to work and become a better coach. And I think I'm an extremely competitive person. Sometimes it doesn't always come out that way, but, you know, and I think our group is an extremely competitive group. And we're not where we want to be. It was not from a lack of care or work. It just didn't happen. And myself and my staff, you know, we're going to go back to work. And I think we're going to take a breath. We're going to analyze, find out what we can do better, where we can do better, what went wrong. Don't have all the answers right now. I think for me, just clear my head a little bit, but I'm looking forward to finding solutions. You know, like I said, I play a long time and my path wasn't the easiest path. And what I loved about the game probably the most was finding ways. And this is a great challenge and I can't wait to start. And if I'm told otherwise, I feel very confident in my ability to continue that path.
So that was Andrew Brunette. And two things struck me about that, one of which you can't see. The first is that final line. If I'm told otherwise, I feel very confident in my ability to continue that path somewhere else, basically. A coach who is feeling certain about his job status probably doesn't throw that caveat in there.
Well, he did say, just to give you the context of that answer, right before he gave that answer, he said he had spoke with all the players, but he had not had the meeting with Barry Trotz yet to determine what's going forward, which is why he couldn't really say, I'm back or I'm not back, right? He can't say for sure. He does have two remaining years on his contract.
The other thing that struck me about that comment, which, again, you couldn't see, is that Brunette did it alone. He held that same news conference at the end of last season sitting next to Barry Trotz. I was watching Rick Tocchet in Vancouver. He held his end-of-season news conference. There are questions about Rick Tocchet's future in Vancouver. He did his news conference by himself. So I actually went back and looked to make sure. And last year at the end of the season, when the Predators were eliminated by Tocchet's Canucks in the first round of the playoffs, Brunette and Trotz did their news conference side by side. So that did strike me. Maybe I'm making a little bit more out of it than I should, but it did stand out to me that Brunette held his news conference alone. But the comment that swept social media was made by Jonathan Marchessault. And we talked about Jonathan Marchessault last week. Robbie Stanley talked about in talking with people in the organization. A lot of people are rubbed the wrong way by Jonathan Marchessault. We've talked about how he can come off as quote-unquote surly sometimes. But Robbie Stanley did ask Jonathan Marchessault about Andrew Brunette's offensive approach and if adjustments need to be made. And here was Marchessault's response.
Yeah, clearly it didn't work. Right. So obviously there's going to be some adjustment to do. I'm a guy that has a lot of opinions, so I don't think I'm going to render them out right now. But, there's definitely adjustment. I think one of the things that we adjusted this year that I think was good is in our D zone, sometimes we had our winger a lot on the boards, and now they were more towards the middle, so we kept a lot of things towards the outside, and I think our D zone got better with that. That's one of the things that we did better this year, I think, from the beginning to the middle. So, obviously there's adjustment that needs to be done, and to be honest, my mindset is every team in NHL should take a page of the books of the best teams in the NHL. I think they're the reason why they're there. Yes, they have sometimes they go up. They're at the cap. I think that's something that's super important to be competitive. I think some of the teams that are the best, they do something really good to be there, and I think everybody needs to take a little bit of page of the good teams in the league. That's why that's why playoff hockey is the best hockey, because that's why you look at the teams, you like see how they play their game, their system, how they adjust certain situations, you know, like, because I've had a lot of different coaches, and probably one of the best coaches I ever had was Bruce. And one thing, like me and him, we definitely headbutt each other, but he adjusts. He adjusts every game, and he's an unbelievable hockey mind. And there's a reason why they're so good. Obviously, they have the tools over there, but he's a guy that thinks the game super well, and that's something that I really enjoyed from him.
Okay, a couple of things. First, I want to clarify. Ooh. He was talking about Brunette's overall approach, not specifically his offensive approach. So I want to clarify that. The second thing is, as I was listening to that the other day, I first saw the transcript that Robbie tweeted out, but then I listened to it as soon as I could get a hold of the audio. It was almost like when you're in a new relationship and your new partner is remembering fondly some of the things that their ex used to do. It's like you do a thing a certain way. And you're like, oh, you know, Johnny used to do this. Like, why are you talking about John? Why are you talking about Johnny? I'm not Johnny. Like, at the end, he's talking about Bruce Cassidy, who was the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. So that part where he was talking about Bruce Cassidy,
yeah.
I'm just like, he's fondly remembering his ex while he's in a relationship with somebody else. But I want there are two questions I want to ask. I want to ask one to Willie and one to Derek. So, Willie, hearing that response from Marchessault, and again, for more context, that was the most newsworthy soundbite. Marchessault spoke for much longer than that. So there are other things that he said that we will provide that context in that nuance. But Willie, hearing what Marchessault said, and was there anything he said that was not well-reasoned, anything that he said that was out of bounds? And based on what you know of Brunette and the adjustments he made, do you feel like he made the proper adjustments over the course of the season?
I think I look at Marchessault as a guy who he will say what is on his mind.
And he mentioned that in the clip. He doesn't bite his tongue.
Doesn't bite his tongue and has played on winning teams. And he played for a number of different coaches in Vegas, right? They fired the coach after they missed the playoffs a couple years ago. They hired Bruce Cassidy, Bruce, as he calls him, just the first name only. And then they won the whole thing. And he said, I butted heads with Bruce. So I think Marchessault is telling you he's not afraid to voice his opinion to his coach. And that's what you get when you get Marchessault. You get the good and you get you get all of him.
You get
right?
the good, you get the bad.
And I will say this about his whole interview.
Wasn't that
right?
the thing about the facts of life? Yeah. You get the good,
yeah.
they get.
Yeah.
How did that guy? I don't
take
remember.
The good to take the bad to get them all, and then you have the facts of life.
There you go. There, thank you. Yes, one of my favorite shows.
Thank you.
By the way.
Nevertheless.
We'll have a show about the facts of life someday. Not the actual facts of life, but the show, the facts of life. Joe and Blair, big fans. If you listen to his whole interview, it is very positive. It is very accountable. Mm-hmm. He says a number of times, I didn't play well. I woke up the next day and I said to myself, what do I do to have the right mindset to be better today? So the quote that had everybody buzzing on Friday is really not the overhaul of the overview of the whole interview, but that's the quote that's going to have everybody saying, what's he talking about there? And I do think they got off to a terrible start. And I think when you get off to a terrible start, you question everything. It's like Steven Stamkos, I thought said it very well also. When you're not doing well, you're like, well, maybe we should play something different. And you've got the coach going, guys, if you just buy in, it will work. I need you to buy in. Mm-hmm. But I think you had people like Marchessault saying, I think we should do it different. And then at a certain point, Andrew Brunette said, all right, let's make some adjustments. Let's do it different. I think Andrew Brunette really believes that his system, which is different, it's unique. That's what makes it good. And he was getting articles written about him all across hockey. Like, wow, look at this guy. He watches basketball. He watches soccer. He watches other sports. And he comes up with these creative ways to play that others don't do. And he's Coach of the Year nominee because of it. He doesn't do what Marchessault says necessarily and says, hey, just copy what all the other teams do, the good teams do, and do it the same way. But it's a great philosophical debate. I don't think either one is right or wrong.
Well, listen, from just a guy that, you know, was once a player and have done a bunch of these interviews, first and foremost, the one thing you never do is bring up your former team in that type of light.
Your
like,
ex.
Yeah, you're bringing them up, and it's right. Fond. You're fondly thinking about
it. I'm sure it didn't go over very well.
Well, Bruce used to do it this way.
Right. Well, I'm sure it doesn't go over very well with
Bruce
the coach.
Bruce used to do it
even though
this
he said
way.
Several other things good about the current coaching staff, that one thing will definitely
But that's
like,
not huh. what they – but that's not what – because if you give someone like Marchessault enough time, eventually, because he tells it how he perceived it to be. That's what it's – eventually, if you let him talk long enough, he's going to say something that may be sort of controversial in a sense. What I'm hearing from a guy is, listen, I don't know if everyone else feels like this because your true self come out in interviews as you start to do it more and more, especially if you do one that is lengthy, like one that is lengthy. Eventually, it'll come out how you feel. If there are other guys that think like him behind closed doors, Coach Bruno ain't gonna be there.
And we will play. And we will play Steven Stamkos's response to the same question here in a little bit. But the question I have for you, Derek, and you've already started touching on it, is one of the central questions that the Predators, Barry Trotz specifically, are going to have to answer is, does Andrew Brunette have the respect of the veteran players? And when you hear a veteran player who is in year one of a five-year contract, who's won the Stanley Cup, who's been a playoff MVP, who speaks his mind, which I respect, I am not going to criticize Jonathan Marchessault for speaking his mind, because as I said last week, and our friend Elliot Freeman mentions this on his podcast all the time, we can't criticize hockey players for being boring. And then when they say something interesting, say, he can't say that. You can't have
How
it
could
both.
He do that?
You can't have it both ways. So I am not criticizing Jonathan Marchessault for speaking his mind. I respect that. But to your point, Derek, and that's my question, when you hear a veteran leader say that in public, Robbie Stanley made this point this morning, that if that's what Marchessault was saying to Robbie Stanley and Alex Daugherty and Brooks Bratton and people who report on the team every day, imagine what he might be saying behind closed doors. So does hearing that give you any pause that Brunette may not have the total and complete respect of this dressing room?
Respect, belief, there's a thin line between both of them. There is. Because I think there can be, I respect that coach, but I just don't believe in his system. You can have that. You know, so do they have respect for him? I think they do respect him. They respect him as a coach. They respect him. Guys like Marchessault, Stamkos, Shea, Forsberg, those guys, they respect him. But again, it's not about respect. It's about belief. Now, do I believe? You got my respect now, but do I believe that you can get the job done? Well, when you start bringing up your past stops or your past head coaches, that belief is sort of diminished some from those who are listening. It's like, man, I understand. Do you truly believe, because you're saying some of these things, do you truly believe that his system? You believe in somebody else's system more than you believe in his system. So, again, if there are more guys that are in this camp, and I get it that he said a lot of, you know, took accountability and, you know, you put the blame on him not playing well and everything else, and it's more of a team than I. And that's what you want your leaders to be about. How do we get better as a team? But if he's going in there, if anyone else thinks that way, like, hey, man, I just don't think this system is the right system for us. And I just don't. You got to move on from
it. It's
you
a
can't
tough.
Sit in
it's
ho-
very
you can't
tough.
Sit in it and say, well, it'll get better, you know, because the last time this came up was in the middle of the season. And I do remember Coach Bruno saying, man, I don't know what, like, I don't have many changes I can make, you know. So it may be like he said, listen, when you go back and you're able to decompress, and you're able to look at it from a different vantage, then maybe now I can start seeing some of the things I didn't see during the season. So now there may be changes that I can make. But when I was in it, I couldn't see all the changes that should have been made.
Brunette talked about the fog clearing.
Yeah.
Taking
and he mentioned it a number of times in his post game. He didn't use the fog analogy in the press conference like he did on our television broadcast, but he said a number of times, I got to get away from it from a little bit. But I do think we need to discuss, because I do think that's the central thing for this team, if he's back, is how do you play with this group? Do we start over and have a different system? Or do you go with the theory of, now that Marchessault, Shea, and Stamkos have been here for a year, they're not coming in fresh like they were before, that they will be way better from the start of next year than they were at the start of last year? Because here's another context, I think, part. If you're in real time and you're Andrew Brunette, number one, you were a Jack Adams nominee the year before. Two of the past three seasons.
Runner
but
up.
More importantly, in Nashville last season.
Yes.
You have a system that worked better than anybody's wildest dreams, right? And you're incorporating these three guys who are coming in. Well, that's three out of 20-some-odd players. Here is what else was happening. They're going 0-5. Andrew Brunette, should you scrap the system after five games?
No.
When you're 0-5, five games out of 82? That was the worst-case scenario. Because what else was happening? Gus Nyquist was struggling. Roman Josi was struggling. Luke Evangelista was struggling. Tommy Novak was struggling. The guys that flourished in that system last year, the theory was those guys will pick up the slack for the new guys as the new guys get adjusted. But everybody struggled. So that put them behind the eight ball so fast in the blink of an eye. And so I don't blame Andrew Brunette after five, even 10 games saying, we'll get it. Guys, just hang in there. Give me the buy-in. We'll be all right. And I think very early, after 10, 15 games, when it wasn't getting a lot better, I think you started having people pulling, well, maybe we do. Maybe this group is different. Maybe we do need to. And I think even Andrew Brunette was having to come to grips with that. So I think that was the struggle. And then they did adjust. They did adjust. Andrew Brunette did make some adjustments. But by then, they were so far behind, it was too late for it to really make a difference.
And I'm reminded of something before we go to break. I'm reminded of something that Derek said earlier in the season when talking about adjustments. And Derek, you likened it to an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator being asked by his team to change his scheme. And you said that if you were that OC or DC, you would say, if I change it too much, I'm losing my identity. You hired me because of this scheme. And if you want me to change my scheme so much that it is unrecognizable from what I'm known for, why even have me around, right? I believe that's what you said. So that's the question that I think the Predators and Brunette are going to have to ask themselves. 615-737-1025. After hearing those comments from Andrew Brunette and Jonathan Marchessault, where do you stand on things with the Nashville Predators? Let us know. 615-737-1025. We will play Steven Stamkos' response to that same question that Robbie asked Jonathan Marchessault coming up next. Again, get in on the conversation. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game, talking Predators. And before we get to Steven Stamkos' comments on Andrew Burnett, let's go to Bob in Antioch on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bob, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm curious to learn your reaction to Marchessault making his displeasure with Burnett public through the media. Do you think that that needed to be done that way, or do you think it it will cause more problems moving forward?
Thank you for the call, Bob. And let me add on to that a text that we have on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we can talk about this a little bit more. One texter says, not taking either side, but Jared mentioned that Marchessault and the Preds butt heads because he speaks his mind, and the Preds as a whole are a little slower developing, meaning on a traditional level. What are your thoughts on this, and do the Preds need to start making quicker decisions rather than kicking the tires before making a decision? So to clarify, the one thing that we know about the Vegas Golden Knights in their short history, the word I use to describe them is ruthless. They will make unpopular decisions involving popular players if they feel it's for the betterment of the franchise. Marchessault is an example. The one I think of most is Marc-Andre Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury was the face of the Vegas Golden Knights, drafted in the expansion draft. And I want to say it was the owner, Bill Foley, at one point said, like, as long as I'm on this team, I'm never getting rid of Marc-Andre Fleury. And then he was gone, right?
Something like that. They kicked him to the curb,
right?
Very fast.
So they are ruthless. I mean, they barely have any of their first round picks, either the ones that they were supposed to have or the players they drafted, because they're quick to move off of these guys to win now. So I think the texter's point is that the Golden Knights have shown in their short history that they are a ruthless organization, to use that word again. The Predators, they are loyal to a fault. If you are putting the loyalty scale in the NHL up on the board, the Predators and Golden Knights are on complete opposite ends. So I think that's what the texter is pointing. Should the Predators take a page out of the Golden Knights playbook when it comes to putting their team together?
It depends on what your value system is. I like the way the Predators do it, honestly. I mean, loyal to a fault is a good question, because that, when you say to a fault, that means there's faults. I think Mike Vrabel was loyal to a fault,
yeah.
Right? There was a lot of discussion along those lines throughout his tenure with the Titans. It's a good question. Marchessault, it'd be one thing if he had 35 goals and he's saying these things and everybody's looking around going, hey, man, they need to listen to Marchessault. To be fair to Marchessault, he did sprinkle in throughout his media availability, I didn't get it done. And I appreciate that, because he had a bad year by his standards, by everybody's standards. He knows it.
Scored exactly half the goals he scored the year before. He had 42 goals in his final season with Vegas, 21 this season.
And I think if you thought he was going to score 40, that was probably
not realistic. But I expected more than 21.
And it was the way he struggled. And he chronicled it. He says, I don't think I've ever gone through a struggle. At least it's been a long time since he was a young player. Because remember, he was an undrafted guy that was sort of a late bloomer.
And he's never been on a team this bad.
Well, he was on a team that missed the playoffs a couple years ago, and he referenced that. But definitely not one 30th in the league.
They barely missed the playoffs.
Right. So he was the first to point out, without being prompted. Nobody had to ask him, hey, how do you feel about your – he said, look, I didn't play well. I've never gone through a struggle where I've gone 2 or 3 weeks without having any success. And that puts you in a tough mental state. But I will, when he says this about the coach and he references his former coach, I think the coaching staff is probably going, hey, we could do the same thing about you. We could talk the same language and call you out. I don't think you would really appreciate that. They could have done it subtly, but they chose not to do that. But I think there was just as much frustration from the coaching staff with Marchessault and for other players as well. But the whole thing going public, they could have gone public on Marchessault a few times, but they went the opposite, right? When they went to Vegas, and he's clearly had this year that was below par, and it's game 80, could they, if they wanted to, said, yeah, I wish he'd be the same player here as he was for them before that, but they didn't do that. They to a person, said, hey, we hope he has a great experience tonight. We want to play well for him. Because they know they're playing the long game. They've got to have Marchessault bought in and playing well for this team going forward.
I'm also wondering, before we get to Derek's point, I'm also wondering about all of this Vegas talk we've heard from Marchessault recently. Now, as you mentioned, Willie, it took until the end of the season for the Predators to visit Las Vegas so that Marchessault could get his warm welcome from the Golden Knights fans. But he was clearly emotional about it, spoke lovingly of his experience in Las Vegas. Some might say he was a little bit over the top with how right. much he spoke about his love
talking
for Las
Vegas.
Talking
about the X again.
Right, talking about the X. And then he mentions Bruce in the clip. It's just like, I'm hearing a lot about Vegas lately. I'm not sure how that plays either.
Well, it reminds me of Mike Vrabel when he went up to New England and he spoke glowingly.
It's not like this everywhere else.
Not like this everywhere else. And all of a sudden now it became this big scandal. And, you know, it ended up being a year later or 2 years later, he ends up in New England, you know, after sitting out a year. And this sort of falls sort of in the same line where, you know, a player – is saying something about, you know, where he used to be, and it sometimes it may not sit well. But here's what the problem is, here's what the understanding has to be. I think Marchessault has to understand where he's at now, and not think about where he used to be, meaning how the organization run, not necessarily coaches. And I say that. You know, I say that because, yeah, you could be a lot more outgoing, or you could be a lot more outspoken, and you could say some of the things over in Vegas that you can say, and people wouldn't bat an eye, and the coach would go at it with you or whatnot, and everything would be fine. But you come here and you come to Nashville, and this is not how they operate. You know, they don't go out of their way to criticize, you know, players, nor do they go out of their way to criticize coaches. Now, listen, Coach Bruno has gotten on his players, you know, before. He not by name, but we know who he was talking about when he said those things or a particular group he was talking about. But he did it in a way where, hey, listen, it's more about the team. You know, yeah, they know they got to play better, but it's more about the team. It's not reminiscing on what they used to have. And Marchessault went to the – well, what he used to have. Well, Marchessault, you got to understand, you're not in Vegas anymore. It's like, you're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy.
Yeah.
You're not in Vegas anymore. So what you love, because I ran into this a lot playing. It's like the thing that you love about that person is the thing that you ultimately will turn around and hate. You love the speak his mind and being vocal and not sugarcoating. But then you hate it, too,
right.
Because
your greatest strength
exactly,
is your greatest weakness.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think this is the surly thing with Marchessault. Yeah, you love it because he's up front. You know where he stands, but you hate it, too, in a sense.
Right. Well, a couple examples that Andrew Burnett said without saying names, but I think you could probably put Marchessault among the people in the category. Because people were saying, well, what are some general examples of the commitment? Andrew Burnett referenced lots of, we didn't have the full commitment. At times, he used blocking shots. Mm-hmm. He used cheating for offense when things aren't going well. And he understands these things as a player, right? Andrew Burnett is like, look, I played over 1,000 games in the league. I know about these things. Mm-hmm. I played with players like this. I was one of these players. What players do sometimes when you're lacking confidence or you're lacking maybe the buy-in, you don't have the commitment. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, he could have turned that and said, if it was all about one player, he could have said that about one player, but he doesn't want to do that because that's smart not to do that, right? Because the coach knows he's the guy that's going to take the fall. It's a lot easier to get rid of the coach than it is to make over the roster and get rid of all the players that are struggling in these categories.
And then there was that comment near the end of the season after a game, I believe it was, where Burnett called out the professionalism of the veteran players.
And it didn't happen very often, but there was the one game. I can't remember what game it was. They just got lit up. They got blown out.
Was it the Ducks game at home?
Maybe. By and large, the team played hard, I think, under the circumstances down the stretch. They didn't quit. They played competitively. But there were a few games where they got blasted, and there was the one game that you're right. He did say, you kind of wish you had more I think he wanted to say it. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, let's. I can't have my veterans mail it in here, even though we're out of it.
Speaking of some of those other veterans, let's hear what Steven Stamkos said when asked by Robbie Stanley the same question that he asked Jonathan Marchessault.
It's tough. You know, when you lose and when you're not having success, everything sucks, right?
Right.
You know, you find things to complain about. You find things to be negative about. It's any aspect of life, right? Things are going well, you know. Yeah, the food might have not been great last night, but I had a great time at dinner because today was a great day. When things aren't going well, everything sucks. You find ways to complain about things. That's human nature, and that's what, you know, crept into a lot of us this year was those negative thoughts. So when you're talking about systems, was it new for a lot of us? Absolutely. Is there things that can be tweaked, I think, to help out the group that we have now? That's the challenge. Is every year there's different players on teams that, you know, you have to try to figure out what works. You have to see what works, what doesn't work, and then kind of evolve around that. So that takes some time. That takes some thought. So I think, you know, is there one thing that's glaring that needs to be changed? I'm not sure if there is, but there certainly can be tweaks, and that's why you have those relationships with the leadership group and the coaches, and you try to feel out that process. And you know, but sometimes you need to see it before, whether it works, whether it doesn't work. And you know, this year obviously was a tough year, so I'm sure things will be talked about behind the scenes.
Quickly, that was a much more captainly response.
Yes.
Than Jonathan Marchessault.
And a great answer. Very insightful.
Far more diplomatic.
That was the answer that the Predators are used to. That's the Nashville Predator, where we're taking accountability, but it's all about us. We got to understand this was this team was new, and we just got to find a way to work. Guys got to find a way to adjust to what's going on. Coaches got to find a way to adjust to the players. But, you know, we all understand that it needs to get better moving forward. And, you know, that's the answer. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say something was, like, really wrong with Marchessault's answer other than, you know, comparing.
It's just,
you know,
more blunt.
Bringing in the, you know, the former coach, Bruce. It was more blunt and to the point. But again, I was always taught it's not what you say to people. It's how you say it to them. You could say the same thing. Marchessault could have said that same thing but smoothed it over a little bit. And maybe it would have came out a little bit different, or just because what you're looking from Marchessault is that bluntness and that honesty. And sometimes it comes off as harsh, where if you massage it just a tad bit, you can say the same thing, but it doesn't come off as harsh. Stamkos, he basically was saying some of the same thing, but he smoothed it all out for you.
Well, he's been a team captain for a very long time. He has that experience of being that spokesperson.
And I would go the next step, D. Mace, and say, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
I think some coaches, too, they see different players. Mm-hmm. Some are more blunt. Some are more diplomatic. Mm-hmm. But the real issue is when they're in that locker room and it's game plan time and it's time to go out there, is everybody tight? Mm-hmm. Is the chain link, all the links in the chain, are they set? That's really the question. It's not really what they say, because I do think it comes down to the central question of how do they want to play going forward, and will Andrew Burnett be the right guy to make the, as Steven Stamkos uses the term, tweaks to give them the best chance of winning next year?
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to everything we've heard from the Predators so far. Well, they're done for the season. We'll hear from Barry Trotz at some point this week. I do not believe that news conference has been confirmed in terms of the time or date, but we will let you know as soon as we do at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking Predators. Let's get to some of your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, I don't think I can be mad at Marchessault's answer because he's coming from a team that won a Stanley Cup compared to one that's just been a playoff contender most years, and in this case, has missed the playoffs two of the past 3 years. One texter says, the difference in Marchessault and Stamkos' answers was one guy was trying to be nice. Mark in Ashland City says, like it or not, they haven't won very much, and this year was a complete failure. With the moves they made and limited stuff they can do from a roster standpoint, it's got to fall on the coach. Fair or not, but this year was a complete failure, and if they don't make some changes to this coaching staff, I feel like it's them being way too loyal. Loyal to a fault. That's Mark and Ashland City. One texter says, need to move on from Bruno because I don't want him struggling to make changes in the playoffs again. Marchessault made his comments in a way to get his message out without actually saying the message. Either Bruno will be gone or Marchessault will be gone with that statement. That's Jesse on our text line.
I mean,
I don't think Marchessault will be gone. No. I think that's reality. You would have to. I think you could probably trade him, but yeah, he's got like I think 15 teams he can write down and say you can't trade me to this.
No trade list.
So I think the practicality of doing that and what you would get back is probably a losing proposition.
Yeah. Well, I think he mentioned. So Riley Smith was an original member of the Golden Knights, just like Jonathan Marchessault. And Riley Smith, he was let go by the Golden Knights. I think he went to Pittsburgh and then to the Rangers. And then he was traded back to the Golden Knights at the trade deadline. And he was talking, you know, about how great it was for Riley Smith to go back to Vegas. And it feels like Jonathan Marchessault certainly wouldn't mind a return trip to Vegas either. But yeah, I have a hard time imagining that he's going to get moved.
Yeah, it's hard to it's easier in a sense to move the coach than it is the players, because of the contracts and the guarantees. And then for Marchessault, he basically is like half the teams you can't even offer to trade to because it's on his list. So if you're taking away half the teams in the league or just about, then the other half is going to lowball you anyway if you try to, you know, trade them. So, again, you try to find a way to make this work. Because everyone may not feel like Marchessault, because it doesn't seem like Stamkos, judging by his answer, he feels the same way that Marchessault possibly feel, judging by, you know, the one answer he gave for a question when he was doing an interview for 15 minutes close to it. So everyone in the room may both respect and have belief in the system, because this is what I do know. With playing this game for a long time, just been in professional sports, that, you know, players, the good players, you know, it takes more than just something not working for the first time. It's usually like something repeated over and over, and then we try to change and over, and then it never. Then you hear those players. Then those players typically come, like the really good ones. Like, because I was always under the assumption, like, listen, just put me in any system, I can find my way through it. But just put me in a position to where, you know, I can succeed and I take it from there. Don't put me in a position that is not advantageous for us all. You know, just put us in good positions and then we will take care of the rest. An offensive coordinator is only good because his players is making his system look good. You know, that's really how it is, because if your system be good but your players are not, you know, the players are not elevating the system. So this is what has to be understood and figured out. Is it a system that works well, but the players are not elevating it? Or is it just, you know, these players have done as much as they could and this system just not working?
It's a really good question. I believe that any system, if everybody's bought in, yeah, and you have enough good players, can be effective.
It may not be beneficial wholly for you individually, yeah, but it's successful. Like, you know, the 97, 98, 99, that 2000 is really, that wasn't a system that was, you know, friendly to wide receivers.
Yeah.
But it worked. You right. know, we won playoff games. We got to the Super Bowl with that system.
Yeah, that's a great example. One thing that you hit on that I think about when you say, when you're as a player, you're sitting there looking at each other and you're losing and you go, That has happened to us time and time again. Mm-hmm. Why is the same thing happening over and over? And I think Andrew Burnett pointed that out as well. And I think when you really get down to it, we're talking a lot about the forwards and the lack of scoring, but I think at the root of all of it is I don't think they defended very well.
They took a more significant drop in their defensive play than they did in their offensive play. Now, we focus, as you said, Willie, we focus on the offensive play because they brought in two 40-goal scorers, and Brunette has coached some high-scoring teams, so that's where a lot of the focus is. But to your point, like if you look under the hood, their defensive process fell off much more significantly than their offensive process.
So I think if we're getting specific, I think that is really where they have to start over. If you look at Roman Josi from last year to this year, injuries had a big part of it, but he just had a big drop-off. He had a bad year. Then you had Brady Shea coming in for Ryan McDonagh. That was a big minus for whatever the reasons, right? And it's not all on Brady Shea. Brady Shea is in this category of with Marchessault and Stamkos in that he had played for the same coach for the same system for a long time, and it was a tough adjustment, and it got off to a terrible start. I think there's much more comfort now as he sits there after 1 year. Going into next year, I think he'll be in a better position to be an effective player. But that was a rough year for Brady Shea. It was a really rough year for Roman Josi. Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lauzon. Huge year last year. Best buddies, great second defensive pair. Career years, great second pair. Those guys were gone halfway through the year after getting off to a really poor start. And then, of course, the third pair is the third pair, right? That's you usually aren't going to sink or swim with the third pair, but they lost Dante Fabbro. They had a lot of issues there too. But a lot of it fell on UC Saros. People are like, what's wrong with UC Saros? Kevin Woodley spelled that part of it out really well. For a while, UC Saros was covering for the really poor defensive environment that they were in every night, and then the roof caved in on that. He couldn't sustain it anymore, and you really felt that. So I think it's all connected, right? If they could square up defending better in their own end, they'll get better goaltending, and I think that leads to more offense. That's my theory. So I think we're sort of underreporting the root of the issue, which is how best to defend. Because Andrew Burnett's system, I think, leads to offense. It's all about offense. He says it. We want the puck. If we don't have it, let's get it back. Let's play going forward. The best offense is not having to be in our own zone. But it was all messed up because when the puck was in their own zone, they were giving up way too much, as Andrew Burnett calls it, free offense.
And we'll see what happens when Barry Trotz addresses reporters. I believe that is scheduled for Wednesday. It hasn't been made official, but the expectation is that on Wednesday, Barry Trotz will address reporters. We've already seen a few coaching changes made in the NHL. Peter Laviolette lost his job with the New York Rangers after two seasons. By the way, they are the fourth team. The Rangers are the fourth team to miss the playoffs the season after winning the President's Trophy. The Rangers were the best team in the league last season. A lot of drama in New York this season. They missed the playoffs entirely. Peter Laviolette lost his job as a result. The Anaheim Ducks made a coaching change, and more to come. There are going to be more coaching changes made, and we'll see if Andrew Burnett joins that list. 615-737-1025. If you have any stray thoughts on the Predators, we'll get back to that in just a little bit. But coming up next, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. We'll get back into the NFL draft. Round one, 3 days away. I bet TD has a lot of interesting stuff to tell us, and we will mine him for that information. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.